पथे वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text 37. Dravya, Kriya, Hetu, Ayana, Isha Katrabi Mayagunai Vastu Nirikshita Atmane. Anvikshaya Anga Atishaya Atma Budibi Maya, oh, I missed it, I'm sorry. Nirasta, Maya, Akpitaye, Namaha, Namaha. Dravya kriya hed vayanesha kartribir Maya gunar vastu nirikshitatmane Anvikshayan gatishay atmana budibir Narasta my akvataye namo namaha. Dravya kriya het vayanesha kartribir. Maya guner vastu nirikshitatmane. Anvikshayan gatishay atma budibir. Nirasta my akvataye namo namaha. Dravya kriya het vayanesha kartribir. Maya gunar vastu nirikshitatmane. Anvikshayan gatishyatma buddhibir. Nirasta my akvataye namo namaha.
Yeah.
Ladies, please. Dravya, by the objects of sense enjoyment. Kriya, the activities of the senses. Hetu, the predominating deities of sensory activities. Ayana, the body. Isha, the predominating time. Kartrabhi, by false egotism. Maya gunai, by the modes of material nature. Vastu, as a fact. Nirikshita, being observed. Atmane, unto the Supreme Soul. Anvikshaya, by careful consideration. Anga, by the limbs of yogic practice. Atishaya, Atma, Buddhibhi, by those whose intelligence has become fixed. Nirasta, completely freed from. Maya, the illusory energy. Akritaye, whose form. Namaha, all respectful obeisances. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. The objects of material enjoyment, such as sound, form, taste, touch and smell, the activities of the senses, the controllers of sensory activities, the demigods, the body, eternal time, and egotism, are all creations of your material energy. Those whose intelligence has become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from the actions of your external energy. They can also see your transcendental form as super soul in the background of everything. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. The objects of material enjoyment, the sensory activities, attachment to sensual pleasure, the body, false egotism, and so on, are produced by the Lord's external energy, Maya. The background of all these activities is the living being, and the director of the living beings is who? Yes, the Supersoul. The living being is not the all in all. He is directed by the Supersoul. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Krishna confirms this. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannidhisto mata smritir jnanam apohanam. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The living entity depends on the Supersoul for directions. A person advanced in spiritual knowledge, or a person expert in the practice of mystic yoga, such as yama, niyama, asana, and so on, can understand transcendence either as Paramatma or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is the original cause of all natural events. Therefore, he is described as Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of? Yes, of all causes. Behind everything visible to our material eyes is some cause. And one who can see the original cause of all causes, Lord Krishna, can actually see. Krishna, the Satchid Ananda Vigraha, the eternality, knowledge, and bliss in form, is the background of everything, as he himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 9.10. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena konteya jagad viparivartite, which means, quote, "This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again." Oma gyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. And I pray for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here and in internet land. Blessings that I may say something useful and beneficial for all here, everywhere, for myself as well. Thank you very much for whatever help you give to me. Because at this moment, I don't have the slightest idea of what I'm going to say. The important thing, or fact that I see here, is that these are prayers, by the way, which are uttered by Mother Earth and her associates at a certain part of Jambudvip, the Earth. So the important point that is being made here is that Krishna is the background of everything. To one who actually has vision, who can see, he's not the background, he's the foreground. He's the every ground. There's no place where he is not seen by an advanced sage, an advanced soul like Srila Prabhupada. But for us, or at least for myself, he is the background. He is behind everything. Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. And being the cause of all causes, he is incredibly and infinitely powerful. He is infinitely great, infinitely wonderful. We cannot measure him. We cannot fathom him. We cannot understand him. Nor can we compare him to anyone else, because he is the one and only. There is no one like him. So we should all be very grateful for the fact that Srila Prabhupada has come and he has brought us an understanding of Krishna, which if we pursue and if we concentrate on and if we make our very life and soul, we too will be able to eventually, at some point in time, when our hearts become completely pure and when our false egos are completely lost, when only the pure ego is there, ready and willing and able to serve and surrender and to love Krishna, then we too will see Krishna in front of us, the side of us, above us, below us, everywhere and in every being. And this is, of course, the desirable goal. So how, what did Srila Prabhupada give us to enable us to have this vision? What did he say we had to do to achieve it? He said, first of all, that we must surrender. First, surrender is to the spiritual master. Surrender to the spiritual master means to obey him, to do what he wants you to do what he advises you to do. And by such obedience and with such fulfillment, one receives the mercy of the spiritual master. Actually, just to be even advised, to be even told what to do is the mercy of the Supreme Lord coming through the spiritual master. But when one fulfills the requests or the advice of the spiritual master, this master is pleased. And when he is pleased, he prays to Krishna for that particular devotee. He prays to Krishna, please bless him. He is so obedient. He is so surrendered. He is so loving. And Krishna, hearing the cry, the prayer, the petition of the pure devotee, acts swiftly to bless that devotee. That's why obedience is a very important part, especially in the early part of Krishna consciousness, especially then, because it develops the proper habits to obey one's authorities, to obey the spiritual master. One develops a sense of security because one knows that he is acting under authority. And that authority stems back unto the authority of the Supreme Lord. There can be no greater confidence, no greater comfort, no greater security than to know that one is working under the direction, under the order, under the focus of the Supreme Lord. So this is so very important. Therefore, surrender is a very important part of this principle, part of this process. As Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So he rewards us. Everyone doesn't get the same reward. Those who strive with lots of effort, lots of love, lots of intensity to perform these different duties that we are given and does them with his own heart, does them with a sense of appreciation, sense of gratitude, does them with the sense that he is blessed, that he is unworthy of receiving such, yet he has gotten them notwithstanding his endless, countless amount of sins that he has committed over numerous lifetimes. In such a mood, he serves as being one who is truly, deeply, greatly blessed. When service is done in this mentality, in this attitude, this is highly pleasing to both the spiritual master and to the Supreme Lord. And therefore, this type of surrender brings tons and tons of mercy upon the surrendered soul. Another person may serve, and he may serve in a rather mechanical way. Let me just say this so I am not misunderstood. All service, whether it's done mechanically or robotically or indifferently, is good. And all service will bring benefit because it is service to Krishna. And Prabhupada made that abundantly clear, that everyone should serve. Of course, some will serve with a higher understanding, with a higher level of love, with a higher level or a greater depth of devotion. And that is actually what one should be striving for. One should go from perhaps the indifferent or the robotic or mechanical to the conscious, to the attentive, to the aware state of devotional service. The aware and attentive state of devotional service means that I am not just serving. For example, I'm doing deity service. I could be waving the fan or waving the chamra. And I may have something else in my mind. I may be thinking about the cooking I'm going to do later. I may be thinking of the fact that my room is getting dusty and I haven't cleaned it. I may be thinking that I haven't written to my mother in 5 years. Or any such thing. This is not the desirable way to serve the Lord. Because our minds are not fixed upon the Lord. We are not feeling the gratitude of the service that we have been granted. A great, great boon. A great, great benediction. That we are being allowed, yes, allowed, Sometimes a person says, well, you know, I'm doing the temple a favor. They need a pujari, so I'm pitching in. I'm doing some good to the temple. This is a wrong attitude. We never do the temple a favor. Actually, the temple does us a favor by performing, by providing us with the opportunity to serve Krishna. And if we see service as the greatest benediction of all benedictions, then we truly get the true benefit of that service. So surrender, as I said, is in various degrees. And one who surrenders greatly will gain great, as Krishna says, he will gain great rewards. And the reward, of course, is greater attachment to Krishna. Not necessarily Krishna is going to get you a Mercedes car, or a big yacht, or a big fan club. What he gives is inner bliss. He gives inner peace. He gives inner strength. He gives inner freedom. And he gives us the ability to love him more than we loved him yesterday. And there is no greater gain, no greater gift than to receive the gift of being able to love Krishna deeply, intensely, overwhelmingly. Because this is what he wants. This is the loving exchange. This is the churning of the ocean of devotion. And this is what is desired. And this is what the purpose of this movement is. But, very importantly, when we churn this ocean, when we surrender, when the heart becomes overflowing, as we say, the cup runneth over, what do we do with the excess? What do we do with the extra that's running over? All that bliss, what are you going to do with it? Just keep it? You share it. You give it out. You distribute it. You can't help it. You go looking for somebody. And you start talking about Krishna. You start talking about some of his slokas in the Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Or you start talking about the wonderful service that he has given. And we stimulate each other. We stir each other's hearts to higher and higher degrees of loving devotion to Krishna. This is what the Goswamis used to do. They would meet every day. And they would be overflooded, overfilled with bhakti. And then they would share it with each other, thereby stimulating, steering, uplifting themselves even more and more. And then going out and giving out this nectar to those who are less fortunate. Having temples built, having books written, so that these ideas would be distributed not just in India, but worldwide, as we can see they are being done today. They were concerned. That's the nature of real bhakti. While it's filled with its own blissfulness, it concerns itself just as Krishna. Krishna is filled with bliss, and yet he is concerned with this entire world. And he sends a great savior like Srila Prabhupada to bless us all, to give us all the opportunity to come back to him, to our original home. So Krishna is a big, big giver. And we too, as we become more God-conscious, more devoted, more filled with with Krishna's love in our heart, we too also become big givers. We need to get rid of this. It's like a woman who's pregnant. And when she's ready to give birth, she can't keep the child any longer. It must come out. Similarly, the devotee becomes pregnant with pure love. And when he's pregnant with this pure love, he needs to give it out. So we should consider the services that we have the opportunity to perform, the means by which we can give out this. Sometimes a person may say, well, I don't feel all those things you're talking about. I'm not overflowing. My cup is not runneth over. I don't have, but what are you talking about? So, but that's even the greater test. When we're not filled with this bliss, you're not filled with ecstasy, you're not filled with peace, you're agitated, you're upset, maybe you're disturbed. But you know one thing, you're devoted to Krishna, you're devoted, dedicated to Prabhupada's mission. So no matter what I feel, whether I'm blissful, whether I'm indifferent, whether I'm apathetic, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do my service. I will do it come hell or high water. I will do it even if I'm not feeling at the best of myself. This is how we qualify ourselves to become recipients of this higher and higher and greater blissfulness and peacefulness and freedom, love and strength that Krishna delivers to the devotee who shows that he has passed the test. He has met the bar, so to speak. And such a devotee receives the mercy that this false ego, this idea that I am my body, and through my body, or with my body, I will lord it over the material world. I will become greater, bigger, higher, better than everyone else. That false ambition, false because it leads only to not fulfillment, not satisfaction, not happiness, but unhappiness, misery, uncertainty, doubt, anxiety, and all these terrible things which make human life so miserable. So Krishna gives us, he gives us the opportunity to be freed of this false ego. Instead of thinking that my body is me, my house is mine, my car is mine, my book is mine, my lamp is mine, my clothes are mine, and don't you dare touch them because they're mine. If we have this, for example, one can know if one is attached to some of his possessions. If, for example, they get stolen or they get lost, if he remains peaceful and he knows that Krishna is in charge, Krishna may be testing him. Are you upset? Are you disturbed? Are you shaken? It wasn't yours in the first place. It was loaned to you. You are the caretaker. Everything we have, everything we own, including the thoughts in our heads. Some of us have good memories. We can remember so many wonderful shlokas. We can remember so many pastimes from our books. That doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Krishna. Look at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was listening to this particular pundit who is uttering one shloka after another, after another, after another, after another about the Ganges. And then the pundit said, well, what do you think? And Lord Chaitanya gave some praise. And then he says, but I think it was the 68th verse. He quoted it after 100 shlokas. He could remember the 68th verse. I may be off, maybe it's 69th, but I'm close. So he remembered, and the pundit was amazed that he even himself couldn't remember it. And yet Lord Chaitanya could remember it. And then he could dissect it word for word, showing all the good qualities of that particular verse, and all the bad ones. And the pundit was Kashmiri, his name was. He was completely overwhelmed. He was amazed that a young boy, Lord Chaitanya, was no more than about 11 years old at that time. And he was able to literally make a fool out of that pundit who thought his poetry was perfect. Fortunately, he was told in a dream that this person who you feel has humiliated you is no other than the Supreme Lord of this universe, and you should surrender to him and thank him. This was, of course, Goddess Sarasvati, whom he always prayed to for guidance and who had given him this crowning glory of being able to defeat other pundits. So nothing belongs to us. We can see how the Supreme Lord showed him that he wasn't really what he thought he was. And he came to this solid realization that, yes, I am not what I think I am. And he was humbled. So, therefore, whether we know lots of verses, whether we are head pujari, or whether we know so many pastimes, or whether we have so many possessions, if we have this understanding, if we have this attitude, that Krishna is the owner of everything that we have, if we lose it, we're not to be upset. We just go and look for another one if we need it, if it's necessary for our service. No need to be upset, no need to be shaken, no need to get angry, no need to accuse. Krishna is in charge, especially of his devotee. He's watching everything we do, hearing every thought we have, and governing so many of our actions, and allowing so much karma to come to us, keeping away so much karma, annihilating or eradicating so much karma. He's doing everything for his devotee to bring us closer and closer and closer to his lotus feet. And if we can see that, whether it be in pain or whether it be in pleasure, that Krishna is in charge of our lives, and that we are simply to depend upon Krishna in the surrendered fashion that I mentioned. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned that to surrender fully, we must accept whatever is favorable for discharging devotional service. We have to reject whatever is unfavorable for discharging devotional service. We must believe firmly that the Lord will always protect his devotee. We should feel that we have the greatest, we should be fearless, because we have the greatest protector. There is no one who can harm us if we are completely dependent upon the Lord. I remember when I was first coming to Krishna consciousness, a very interesting incident occurred in my life. I was living at my parents' place that was in the Bronx, New York, and I was walking down a street, and it was at nighttime. It was on East Tremont Avenue, if I recall. And at the end of the block, I saw a gang of guys. And I knew that these guys were heavies, because I had seen years ago, not too many, 2 or 3 years ago, I had seen them get out of a car, and they came to the car I was in, and they opened the door. We were just three in that car. And they literally, this one person pounded his face to a pulp. He was one of my classmates in the seventh grade. His father was a police officer. Seriously. So, anyway, he and his cohorts, two or three years later, several years later, and I see them at the end of the block, and I'm alone, I'm wondering, and they're rowdy, they're noisy, loud, and I'm figuring, am I their next victim? Should I run the other way? I says, well, it says that Krishna protects his devotee. I'm just going to keep walking. So I kept walking and walking, and as I was walking, all the heads started turning towards me. I said, uh-oh, here it is. It's going to happen. Anyway, I'm going to keep walking. So I kept walking. I was about maybe 20 yards from them at that point. And just as I was about to reach almost parallel to them, I see a car come whizzing down the block and screeching its brakes. And what is it? It's a blue and white New York police car. And the cops, one of them near the window, passenger window, said to this crowd, what are you guys doing here? So he gained their attention. They started talking to him. They said, well, get going. There's no place to hang out. Meanwhile, I was already around the block and down the block and almost near my house by the time that conversation ended. So there was just a very interesting example of how Krishna was protecting. I wasn't praying to Krishna at that time. I was just wondering what was going to happen, whether I was going to get my face pounded in. So my point is this. Krishna always protects his devotees. And if we pray to him, we pray for protection for no other reason, and that is actually good to pray for protection, pray to be maintained, so that we can go on with our loving devotional service and do better and more and to please Krishna at every given moment. So, that the Lord will always protect his devotee, we should feel ever dependent upon the Supreme Lord. My Lord, I can do nothing without your mercy. As soon as we begin thinking that I can do it myself, by my own endeavor, by my own efforts, by my own energies, by my own intelligence, I don't need to think about you, Lord. You've already given me the equipment, I'll do it. Well, we lose the connection. We lose the relationship. The Lord wants us to depend on him. And all activities just depend upon me and work always under my protection. And such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, you will be lost. So Krishna is guaranteeing, he's saying, if you depend upon me, I'll take care of you, don't worry. Those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So there's a promise. So we always depend upon the Lord. Further in surrender, we have no other interests outside of the interests of Krishna. And even if it's what we call an ordinary job out in the material world, we do it as a love offering to Krishna. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever austerities you perform, do this as an offering unto me. In this way you'll be freed from the bondage of work. And by this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and you will come to me. Do not doubt it. And he says to Arjuna, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time perform your prescribed duty of fighting with your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me. You will come to me without a doubt. So Krishna is giving us a promise. He's giving us a guarantee. He's giving us the guarantee that he will be our all in all. If we will please try to make effort to become his all in all. We are his all in all, but he wants loving relationship. So we need to think of him. Not enough to just serve. Serve is good, but we want more than just the blessing of service. We want the blessing of closeness. We want the blessing of togetherness. We want to feel that loving relationship that we once had when we were long ago in the eternal world. So, without any further ado, let me end this by saying that we have a great, wonderful opportunity always to serve Krishna. We should not take it for granted. We should take it as the greatest of blessings and benediction. We should thank Srila Prabhupada over and over and over again. We should be continuously obliged to Srila Prabhupada and Lord Sri Krishna. And our desire should be to please them in greater and greater degree in everything we do, wherever we go, so that through their pleasure, this whole world will become truly pleased inwardly and transcendentally. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions or any comments? Yes, Prabhuji. Look good and loud, or he'll give you the mic.
Yeah, I was just wondering if a devotee is working a job with commies, how does he offer that as service to Krishna?
How does he offer his service to Krishna when he's working with karmis?
But if he's working a karmi job with karmis, how does he offer that work?
Oh, well, I'll just give you one example and then you can apply it to your own personal circumstance. For example, you're working at a computer all day long, okay? Many people do that. You have a screen in front of you. So the question really is, how to remember Krishna? If you can remember Krishna as often as possible, you'll be able to attune your relationships even with these karmis, at least to the extent that you can get along with them so that they don't offend you or they don't affect you or afflict you to such a degree that they disturb your whatever peacefulness that you have. So you keep a nice little picture of Krishna right above your screen. I have a picture of Radha Krishna right on my screen. So I do writing. So every maybe 2 or 3 minutes I have to stop and just kind of relax my mind a little because it's been concentrated. So during that period of relaxation, I look at Radha and Krishna, say a few prayers. Please bless me that I can do a better job than I'm presently doing and help me to be able to become purified through the process of just thinking of you. Every time you think of Krishna, every time you look at Krishna's face, every time you say his name, this is purifying. And it gets better and better and better and better. It's kind of like if you see sweet cream, it's liquid, and then you churn it and churn it and churn it, it becomes like whipped cream. So similarly, when the heart is stirred and stirred and stirred, it becomes very creamy with, if you will, pure love for Krishna. So even your outside job can become an inside job. So don't forget it. Anyone else? Any other comments? Or is that it? Oh, thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.